All right, welcome back to the Mostly Unstructured podcast, sponsored by Keymark. Ed and Clay in the chair again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't know we sponsored it.
Maybe we should start over again. Hey there, welcome back to the Mostly Unstructured podcast. Clay and Ed in the chair again.
Yep.
Really excited about this topic we're going to talk about today. That may seem a little odd when we're talking about why data governance is the foundation of enterprise AI. And you're like, why is that so exciting? Hey. Well, I think it's when you have really important information you want to share with somebody, good news, hey, you know, look out for the bus.
Yeah.
Like,
that's whatever. A good one.
And it is, because this is a critical thing that if you don't get right, it's detrimental to your business. And so we've talked personally about this AI conversation being so dominant in the boardroom.
Yeah.
Right. But what's interesting is that the biggest conversation around AI right now really isn't about what you might think, like model performance. It's around this idea of governance. And so, in fact, I think we mentioned in a previous episode that analysts are saying that data governance is a non-negotiable when it comes to enterprise AI. So today we just want to unpack that a little bit, talk about why. Is this a new thing? I think I remember you saying recently, it's been a while. Even when this kind of got started, people were already picking up on the risk associated with AI.
Right.
Something you're seeing regularly in the C-suite, right?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And yeah, I mean, I think to your point, you don't often necessarily correlate like, oh my God, I'm so pumped. We're going to talk about governance.
Yeah. Ooh.
But I think, you know, what you're saying is absolutely right. I think the cycle that's happened, of course, is people began experimenting with AI. And as they've been experimenting, they've begun to run into some of the realities that come with ungoverned AI and what that means. And so those risk factors, of course, make it up to the C-suite, because what it transpires is you go from this productivity, efficiency, exciting innovation that we're trying to accomplish as an organization to something with potentially significant liability if you don't address the governance piece.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that it's clearly, it's top of mind for me and our organization. Mm-hmm. It's top of mind to the customers that we talk to.
Yeah. So let's start out by kind of defining it a little bit.
Sure.
And what we mean by enterprise grade governance. First of all, governance isn't just IT security. I think it's a framework that ensures AI systems are developed, that they're deployed, maintained, and used in a safe way that's in alignment with the privacy laws, with your ethical standards, and business strategy. So when we talk about data governance, what are some of the things that might include in an organization that you would talk about and emphasize? What areas are we talking about?
Well, I want to go back a little bit, because organizationally, Keymark, you know, my career in this unstructured industry, governance has been at the root of conversations forever. But it's been in the root of conversations, you know, often related to, you know, the core of what we do, which has been storing corporate information, often corporate documents. They might originate digitally, they might be scanned in or what have you. And, you know, governance was things like, what kind of document is this? And based on the kind of document it is, who's going to have rights to it? And who's going to be able to make it available? And with that comes, you know, this, you know, governance model. But what happens if you get it wrong, right? If you get it wrong and you define a document as the wrong thing, maybe you can't find it. That's sort of the penalty, right? You can't find it. What if the data is wrong in an AI model? What if you're pulling data across? You know, we've talked in this podcast about sort of reaching into these unstructured repositories, harvesting data from them, structuring it, sharing it downstream. What if you didn't govern that and just move that data across? Well, the penalty isn't, hey, I can't just find it. The penalty could be an agent makes decisions on flat out bad data.
Right.
And now that's risk, that's potential liability. That's, you know, if you're on the phone with a claimant and you use an agent to ask a question and it's literally querying bad data that's been brought across because nobody governed it, nobody checked it. There's a whole different level of risk associated than what we've seen in the past.
Yeah. And it has major ramifications.
Absolutely.
So when you talk about that, I think we're talking about, you know, risk mitigation. You talked about documents, traceability,
yes.
Monitoring and auditing, policy creation. There's a whole plethora of items. When you think of all of those at an enterprise level, who should own this governance? Okay. Because I think that it, in a lot of ways, well, it's IT. But is there more to that? Like, who's in charge of this?
Well, in thinking about this topic, there's a couple of phrases that I ran into that, you know, are already popping up around some of this. And one of the ideas there is this idea of data and being AI ready. And what does AI ready mean? Well, you know, one of the dangers associated with not having governance is the things I talked about, pulling data off without knowing necessarily what it is or validating it or any of those things, not having the traceability, not having an audit trail, not knowing where it came from, and serving it up. Well, okay, let's say we serve up bad data to externally or internally. How do we map that back? Ungoverned, we don't. And there clearly there's a risk associated with that. So to your point, who owns that? Well, there's typically, you know, I think that lies in a couple of different places. Certainly organizations have chief data officers, you're seeing chief data information officers, right. And the ideas of data governance committees that involve various business owners along with those CDOs and CDIOs that come together to put some of this. So I think that idea is incredibly important. I think part of the importance there, though, isn't just the model, the process, but the rules, so to speak. So one of the other terms that I ran across, we've all heard about shadow IT. And in the age of SaaS, shadow IT has just exploded, right? Because as a business owner or a business unit owner with a budget, I can go find a product that was built for me, a SaaS product that I don't have to depend on IT to utilize necessarily. And you see the proliferation. What I hadn't heard of until recently was this idea of shadow AI.
Mm.
And so much of what's available are these toolkits, these platform level toolkits from the hyperscalers where I could, go in and use something from AWS or Azure or whatever and do my own version of reach in and grab the data and push it into an agentic solution. Well, that's a problem, right? So it's not only the governing the data, but it's governing the use of these tools and who has access and what they can go do with them, because you could be doing everything right on your policy side, et cetera. You can be reviewing data, creating audit trails. You also have to take a look at this kind of shadow AI idea, which, I think is very real.
Yeah. So you're talking about the fact that there's multiple people involved in the organization that should be a part of that committee. And I want to say this too about the committee idea. I think that's going to be table stakes in the next 2 or 3 years. And by the way, Great. When I say 2 or 3 years, I wonder if we shouldn't create an AI dog years kind of concept.
Without a question.
Because there's things that we've talked about 10 months ago that either are old news, have changed completely, or irrelevant. Like, it's just changing so fast. And like, you say, well, your dog's 5 years old. Well, really, he's 35 because 1 year's for 7.
Yeah.
I think we should do that with AI.
But I saw a quote the other day that was attributed to Prime Minister Trudeau from Canada back a few years ago, and he said something along the lines of, we've never moved this fast before, and we'll never move this slow again.
Wow.
Which feels about right for where we are. That's right.
Well, And I say that because when we throw out stuff like, you know, 2 to 3 years, you know, how long is 2 to 3 years in AI years? Like if I say 5, that could be in a year and a half. It's moving so quickly. But one of the things we, you know, we're pointing out is that it is going to be important that you have a committee in your organization, but that's not always possible. And I think a lot of people now don't like, where do we even start? And we don't want to go down a rabbit hole of how to build a committee, but I did want to just throw this out there that we're seeing a lot of people come to us. We talk to other AI folks in our space who are all kind of saying the same thing. And that is most organizations are like, I know I have the ring.
Mm.
I need to get it into Mordor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I need a guide. I need somebody to at least help me get started, to show me where to go. You know, where's my Gandalf, so to speak?
Right.
And so this idea of, all right, you don't have to go set this up right now. The best thing you can do, instead of going and trying to start a committee, lean into a partner, lean into another AI expert that you trust, and work together to create that so that you're getting your sea legs under you. At some point, it'll be, I think you would probably agree, it's going to be part of every organization, like, you know, that round table of AI people that are in the organization.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I, you know, I want to go back to your time comment just for a moment, that, you know, idea of, you know, what 3 years from now looks like. You know, yeah. I keep coming back to the idea that 3 years and 3 months ago, ChatGPT had not yet been unveiled to the public. And you think about the ubiquitous use of these tools today, it's every conversation in technology, it's every conversation in the boardroom, the influence in the stock market lately on AI and what's happening, what's not happening. And so this idea of trying to project out more than 3 years at this point, I think is an impossibility.
That's silly.
Because you've now got, you know, AI driving AI-based conversations. You're going into AI saying, what's going to happen with AI? I mean, that's literally where we are. So back to your point about the, you know, those committees and things like that, one of the things that we've talked about before is failure rates, right? This now famous or infamous MIT study of the 95% failure rate and those kinds of things. I think what's occurring is you're seeing this sort of first bastions of, okay, we tried this, it didn't go as expected, now what? And I think a lot of those decisions got made with people's big platform vendors, big platform consultants, right? They're going to the people they spend the most money with and saying, okay, help me do this.
Yeah,
that right. Doesn't necessarily lend itself to deep understanding of the customer's business. Mm. You know, our business being more of a boutique, we're in very deeply with the customers at solution levels, at right. Business understanding, process understanding, often people understanding. And those things become critical in these conversations because, one, you're talking about the governance of their sacred cows, right? This is the keys to their kingdom. We don't generally get involved with kind of less critical information for organizations. We're typically in, this is the most critical information we have. Might be medical charts, might be claims data, might be whatever. And as part of that, these discussions lend themselves to a need for advice. And the customers are in an incredibly difficult position.
Yeah.
The speed at which they're being required to learn, assess, decide, with the pressures, you know, from above to make all those things happen.
And from the outside.
And from the outside.
You need this,
and, you know,
partner, you need this AI solution. Right. I mean, it's crazy.
And we all feel it. We feel it, right? Are we moving fast enough? Because there's this sort of like pressure around that. So I think that where, you know, someone like Keymar can be of incredible help to customers is to say, one, this is what we're seeing in other organizations. This is how they're approaching it, that sort of best practice. Two, it's helping them pull the problem apart. You know, what are you trying to accomplish? What data are we talking about? What are the capabilities and possibilities, you know, as it relates to not only the solution, but the governance aspect of it? It's generally speaking, not a customer's job to figure that out. And they need trusted sources to be able to help them.
Yeah. where we're your Gandalf.
Yeah.
Or your Yoda.
Yeah.
Or
whatever. You've got the beard.
Whoa. Well. That the ears too.
Yeah.
Green ears for the
I think Yoda. I'm looking more like that Gollum guy at this point, but that's all right.
Well, it's better than the Eye of Sauron, I guess.
Yeah, it's
flaring face.
Yeah.
So the World Economic Forum has described the essential pillars of AI governance, and I think it's a really helpful lens to look at. It's really three of them. There's responsible AI, ethical AI, and trustworthy AI. What, in your personal assessment, what do you think is the most underestimated aspect of those three?
I lean towards trustworthy only because I think that people just assume to a certain extent that the information they're getting back from whatever AI tools they're using is trustworthy.
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit on a previous podcast about if you really want to experiment, go in and ask it something you already know the answer to and see how you feel about what it comes back with. And, you know, hopefully it comes back pretty strong, but you're likely to find differences. And that's kind of that leading indicator that we're just assuming that what it's spitting out is correct. And I think that this is sort of the whole point of this governance discussion is you can't, right? I don't think, you know, as you listed off things like ethical, I think everybody, the AI vendors themselves, the companies using it, has a desire to be ethical at some level, I think. I like to think. However, things like bias, right?
Yeah.
You know, you think about a word like ethical and you think about bias. There is bias built in not only to AI, there's bias built into each organization's own data, how they make decisions, how they write contracts, how they adjudicate claims, all those kinds of things are inherent bias. If you simply take that data and feed it into AI, you've now introduced your bias into AI to be carried forward to. Now, maybe that's your intent, but that should be a decision, right?
Right.
Our data committee, our governance committee looks and says, do we want that?
Yeah.
Or is there a scrubbing? Is there some sort of a semantic layer that gets built that says, we don't necessarily want to carry that forward that way. We want to make it more agnostic.
So we talked about just what it is, but let's continue talking about why it matters. I think there's this regulatory landscape that we need to discuss. We're moving toward a world where AI governance isn't just optional. It's
right.
It's regulated.
Right.
It's
that's right.
Mandatory. And we already have GDPR in place that's been around for years now, but I don't know that everybody's aware of the new act in EU,
sure.
The EU well, AI Act. That's a lot of letters in that one. That has some real specific concerns if you're not paying attention to it, where you have to have more disclosure of use of AI or how you're using it, especially for public facing solutions. And then around the specifics of industry, you mentioned that earlier, this finance, healthcare. So again, you had this, and we kind of talk about this internal piece and this external piece, and we'll reference that in different ways. Sometimes you don't want an internal person getting access to another piece of information internally.
Yep.
But then there's the external access to your organization that you also need to buffer as well. I am concerned that not enough US-based enterprises are paying attention to this. I don't know that they're aware of what's changing and the responsibility that they have.
No, I agree with you. And I think that traditionally, without getting on a soapbox, Europe has been well ahead of the US as it relates to privacy, personal information, that sort of thing.
For better or worse.
For better or worse, GDPR has been well out in front.
Mm-hmm.
What is also true, though, is that there are states in the U.S. That have been traditional fast followers on some of those things. So you've seen privacy acts that have popped up in various states in the United States. And with that, any company, you know, Keymark being a good example, we operate all across the U.S., right, and sometimes out of. That's going to apply for us, too. We do business in some of those states. Yeah. And so there's the optionality is going to go away fairly quickly. And to your point, that AI Act has some teeth to it. And so organizations are now going to have to not only think in terms of things like, to your point, trustworthiness and ethical and that sort of thing, but also risk, right? Like government risk, legislative risk, litigious risk, not just the risk of I gave bad data to a customer, or which is not good either, but doesn't necessarily or hasn't had the teeth that you're talking about. And so, you know, one of the things I think maybe to turn it around on you just for a second, we spoke even earlier today, you know, from a marketing standpoint, you think about our website, you've got decisions to make around, you know, sort of ethical and trustworthy and those sorts of things. And we talked earlier about how do you want to represent your organization as you think about labeling things as AI generated? Do we create little bobbing heads on there that are AI? I don't know, you know, AI created, like how you're thinking about it.
That comes down to, I think, knowing who you are as a brand, right? And without getting on too much marketing speak, the responsibility that comes from that EU AI Act is, I think, a good thing. And the fact that so many people look at, whether they see it on social media or wherever they interact with content, even my kids are like, that's AI.
Right.
And they're like, no, it's not. It's not AI. No, it's AI. And then there's this argument, which is really breaking trust down. So apply that not just globally to whether you need to watermark your images or add to your privacy policy that we occasionally use AI-generated content, whatever that may look like. Think backwards into an enterprise mindset, because we bring our biases, we bring our behaviors into the office with us. And so, all right, if I'm going to query an agentic solution right on top of my data, am I going to go, come on, it said this,
right?
Which is trust,
right?
Which it's interesting how there's been this complete trust in it. And there are times when, well, I think I even find myself doing that, like, all right, well, what it says is that's it, that's good, that's great. And then later on, I'm like, I don't know. It's an odd thing that we're all kind of wrestling with. And I think that that's so important to consider as we move into, you know, the drivers of what matters in your governance. And so I think the companies that are taking this seriously and that operationalize governance now are going to move a lot faster and are going to scale a lot quicker. And I think, you know, we can look at it as friction,
right?
Which it can be in a way, or we can look at it as a growth enabler.
No, I totally agree. And I think it comes back to this idea of you have to have a centralized decisioning function on how you're going to address these issues.
Yeah.
Right. If you, in your role said, hey, we're going to create a bunch of AI characters that are going to be videos, and they're going to sort of tell our story for us, and we're going to use AI to generate everything they say, et cetera. That's not necessarily on the surface right or wrong.
Right.
It's one, to your point, what's your brand? What's your stance? Two, how important is it that data is right? It's of the utmost importance. This is representing you and who you are. And if you don't have a process in place by which that's going to get reviewed and what comes out, then you should have to live with the result that comes from that, the liability, the risk that comes from that.
Right.
And this goes back, you know, earlier I touched on this idea of really taking, you know, in our world. So coming back to kind of what we do. So I've got this gold mine of unstructured information. And let's use, I don't know, contracts, for example. And I want to use an IDP tool, or I want to use a tool to, you know, go in, vectorize that data and start to make it available downstream. So what type of document is it? Okay. What if I get that wrong? If I get that wrong and the rules that follow and I pass that downstream to an agent, what happens? Well, maybe something shows up that really shouldn't show up, by example. What tools do we have in place? So we talked about, where does that boutique element come in? One of the things we know from our history is you better validate. It's pretty important. Right? If I'm going to read a bunch of information, I should probably validate it. I should check the confidence. How confident are you about this document, this word, this paragraph, this what have you? And there's a lot of tools out there that are being built right now. They're calling themselves IDP, or they're calling themselves different things. Well, they don't necessarily do that. They just read it and say, here it is. And obviously customers are enamored with the possibilities that, well, I can just build it myself. You can. You're absolutely right. You can build it yourself. It won't have the controls. It won't have the validation steps. It won't have the audit trail. It won't have the traceability. It won't have these things. It'll read the data.
Yeah.
Maybe it's right. Maybe it's wrong.
Right.
And it's just going.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I think as we talk about governance, it's like, it's the policies and procedures. It's also the technology itself. It's the decision-making involved in, you know, what should we be pulling across? What are we making available? Because if you unleash the agent, and this is the difference from the human in the loop versus the agent, agent's going to do exactly what you program it to do.
Right.
Go find this, bring it back, as an example. Go make this decision.
Yeah.
If you give an agent decision-making authority, which is where people are saying, well, I don't need the knowledge worker because it can decide on behalf of a person. How much more important is it that the data is right?
Yeah.
So these are the things that, you know, I think have got to be grappled with, got to be wrestled with, and have to have a plan for. And I think it's the reason, you know, going back to kind of your first comments about why should you, you know, why are we excited about this conversation? Because I think it's really sort of the next phase of these AI discussions, where the all the good that's out there with it is also met with the realities of it. How do we address that?
Yeah. And we talked last time, I think, about the failures of AI, specifically with it's an older use case now with the Air Canada.
The example, Air Canada.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think most AI failures, they're not model failures. They're actually governance failures.
100%.
Because you're not setting those up front. You're not gating it.
Right.
And I think that's, you know, something we want to drive home, that this really is super, super important that you get it right.
Well, you use that example. And I don't know this, you know, I don't know exactly what led to the problem. But let's say they have a policies and procedures manual.
Yeah.
How often do you think that gets updated? Multiple times per year? How many versions are there? 100 of them? Yep. 200 of them? If you just unleash, you know, a tool to go crawl and bring the information back, which one's the right one?
Right.
How would the agent know? Yeah. So what governs the process to get the right version?
It's and it's not just, you know, you're bringing up, I love what you're bringing up around different areas of an organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that may be an HR thing that you just mentioned. Yeah. It could be that department. But I think people, I'm afraid their mindset goes to, well, this is an IT problem. And it's not an IT problem. There's involvement there. But before you ever train a model, there's this governance question of, is your data ready?
Right.
I if you go put milk in your car tank, gas tank, it's not going to run. We all know that.
Right.
But if you put dirty gas in your car unintentionally,
yeah, right,
stop off and
yep.
We won't name a town. We don't want to insult anybody.
Right.
But if you just stop at that little one pump station in the middle of nowhere, mm-hmm. you're taking a risk. Your engine's going to run accordingly.
That's right.
You don't put diesel in a gas running car.
Right.
You don't put milk in there. Like, and so it's this analogy I'm trying to paint of what you put into your engine is how it's going to run. And we come back to that over and over and over again about what are you putting in? What are you governing is going into your tank? What are you deciding up front? Because what you put in is what you get out. Then the work that you put in up front on governance, it pays dividends in the long run.
Yeah, I think your analogy is exactly right. I think that there is almost this assumption or this thought process like, well, AI is so smart, yeah. it just figures things out.
The almighty right? AI, yeah.
There's never been a more garbage in, garbage out technology.
More than just the old BI, not old, but just that BI thought process.
I mean, yeah. this is now, unfortunately, what you're doing is you're saying if garbage goes in, you've ratcheted up the power level to extrapolate and use that garbage in much more meaningful
yeah.
and risk-driven ways.
Right.
Than ever before. And you know, that's kind of the piece that's missing. You know, this idea of what does AI ready mean? I would encourage every organization to ask themselves that question as it relates to their data. What does AI ready mean?
Go back to, because I think IBM has this agent ops concept. And I really like what you were saying a minute ago about the agents, because they are going to be making more autonomous decisions, and governance becomes insanely important mm-hmm. when you're letting AI make that decision. Because like if an agent makes 42 decisions, traceability wants to know that you can track all 42 of those back.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And even outside of an agentic element, if you do that, like even if you're querying something, doing a current query on a large language model, if you're not checking your references, you're over-trusting the AI.
Right.
And you can go to just about whether it's a master class or an online AI training or whatever, almost all of them are going to advise you to do that.
Absolutely.
Check your references. Same thing as table stakes, I think, with especially on that traceability and the governance side in an organization that says, all right, if you're saying that this customer owed this much on an invoice, for example, right? I want to be able to see that invoice if I need to.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I think that this whole idea of the power that agent has is so critically important. I mean, we have never in the history that I know of putting in, workflow or process automation solutions, not been asked the question in the demo stage, is there an audit trail? Can I track who approved what? Can I go all the way back and say, all right, this went to Clay and he approved it and he shouldn't have, whatever, right? I have to have that. So the idea of unleashing an agent and saying, have it make these decisions without traceability.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just flying without a net. And that's putting it,
that's
nicely. What I think is really interesting, I think that the question that's being asked of the industry right now, and I don't think everybody understands the ramifications of the answers yet. A couple of really headlining announcements lately of companies that have done these significant layoffs related to, we're going to use agents. I think H&R Block, just did a big announcement where, they're cutting a significant number because the AI can just do it. I just want to underscore yet again, because I think sometimes we can sound like we're not on the AI train. We're 100% on the AI train. I couldn't be more on the AI train. We can't move fast enough with it. However, it's got to be governed.
Yeah.
And I think what's going to be interesting over the next year to 2 years is going to be those companies that have said, all right, throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Here we go. It's all agents all the time. It strikes me as difficult to believe they have done the work on the data readiness side.
Yeah.
And now I'm not taking anything away from their people.
It just feels irresponsible.
It's just a how would you have had the time at a company of that size to know your data is good? And, you know, there's that, you know, what I think we're trying to drive to is this is a slow down to go fast moment, right? Take the time to make sure you're ready, get some help in what are the right questions to ask. And that's going to allow you to unleash the full power.
Yeah. So let's wrap a bow on this with just a few more closing thoughts. I was thinking the other day, you know, as we were preparing for this podcast, what's the future look like? And I think, are we heading into a point where hackers are going to start using agents to start uncovering vulnerabilities
within
organizations who have public-facing information?
Absolutely.
Not to be a fear-mongerer.
No.
But that's kind of the point I want to get across is, I think in 5 years or less, back to those AI years, whatever that looks like, very soon, I think AI governance is going to take on essentially the same role as cybersecurity. It will be so incredibly important to protect yourself from outside forces or inside your own four walls, if you want to put it that way. And really to emphasize this aspect that of this thought that AI strategy without governance is just experimentation and it's just downright dangerous. Adding in governance to your AI strategy is what's going to bring about transformation.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we've spent a lot of time today talking about governance as it relates to the data and the quality of the data, the quality of the work the agents do and all those kinds of things. But I think the point you're making is exactly right. And I think that, you know, this idea that, you know, hackers using AI, I mean, you know, I'm quite sure that's been going on for quite a while. I don't relish the job of a cybersecurity, you know, person at all, because I think to your point, you're literally going to have agents fighting agents and who can evolve them, you know, fast enough and all those kinds of things. And it's, you know, it's the sad reality of the world that we're in, but it's a real one. And I think one of the things that's going to be, you know, critical is that, again, what data we make available, how we make it available, how we govern it, the guardrails that we put around it. You think about our customers. We've got PII of all different sorts. We've got banking information. We've got mortgage information. We've got claim information. We've got social security numbers, credit card numbers, you know, in our customers. Yeah. We've got, you know, all these kinds of things that, you know, hackers are trying to identify all the time. Well, you know, set hackers aside for the moment. What's the risk of letting an agent that, you know, at the end of the day, just follows the instructions that you give it, brings information back and, you know, oh, oops, here's a, you know, social security numbers or
a real world. How,
you know, here's a medical chart,
a real world,
you know, real world. And, and the AI, you know, will follow its instructions. It's going to bring that information back. This is why that whole kind of intermediary step of safeguarding what it is that you're making available becomes, you know, that much more critical. And it's why I think it'll be very interesting over the next couple of years to see how companies handle. We've talked about MCP, for example. So there is this idea that I could have my agent leverage or agents leveraging MCP to go to N number of endpoints to get data, aggregate, decide on it, do those kind of things. Or I could centralize my data in a data lake and have my agent communicate with that data lake. Whichever you're choosing, you know, you have this security element, you know, associated with it, of course, to make sure that, you know, I'm safeguarding those endpoints and, you know, all of that data. But without a plan as to what are we pulling back and how are we presenting it, what are we giving an agent the authority to decide on, you know, not letting efficiency get in the way of good, safe practices is super important.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I want to just close by saying if someone's listening to this who is an enterprise leader, a business leader, I imagine they're past the question, should we use AI? Most people are have moved on to how or why did we use it the wrong way? Whatever, we've talked about that before. But I think the question really becomes, do we have the governance maturity to scale it responsibly? I think that's where the question needs to start in the boardroom. Do we have what we need to do this in a responsible way to protect our business, to protect our people, protect our patients, whatever, you know, to protect our constituents if you're in government? Like, there's a lot of, that's the kind of question that needs to be asked up front.
Yeah, particularly as you think about venturing down a path. I mean, this is true of AI generally, but as we've talked about here quite a bit, there is this, you know, kind of final frontier of all of this unstructured data that's been as yet untouched and as yet ungoverned, in the sense that in a typical content repository, you have metadata, right? Mm-hmm. This is how I go find this document. Mm-hmm. And you'll find the document, which is effectively a picture, right? And I can read through it and I can find information. Now what we're saying is, no, we're going to use tools to lift data out of that for downstream use by AI. Well, all the models that went into the discrete data in your ERP or your CRM or your HR system that have been carefully curated with security and all those kinds of things, now all of a sudden you're saying, oh, go out and go get this new pile of data. And what? You're just going to dump it? You know, and I know I'm being extreme, but it's this idea, and I think the root point we're trying to get at is you put all this time, energy, and thought into safeguarding the data in those, you know, kind of endpoint discrete data applications, CRM, HR, et cetera. Now, all of a sudden, you're saying, all right, I've got this. Well, you have to apply the same thought processes. You have to, apply policies, procedures. You've got to, you know, get the data sort of into different levels of what I want to secure versus, you know, what's I can be more open about. And you want to have, you know, all the things we talked about earlier in terms of the ability to traceability and all those kinds of things, to know exactly where did it come from, who originated, who touched it, how did it end up here? Right. And, you know, when and if we run into something where, boy, this agent got this wrong, how did this happen? Well, that can't map back to, I don't know, it was in this pile.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. There are a lot we could go into here.
Sure.
This has been a good conversation, as always. It's always fun to talk about this stuff and then find out that in 6 months from now, we need to re-record this because something else has changed.
No doubt.
On that note, thanks for joining us on the Mostly Unstructured podcast. Ed and Clay signing off. I do want to invite you to engage with us. If you are watching our podcast on YouTube, make sure that you subscribe, like, and then please comment. We would love to engage with you. If you have take issue with something we've said or you have more questions, we would love to engage. You can also go to keymarkinc.com, drop us a line there. We'd love to chat with you. And if you heard something brilliant, well, just assume that Ed and I planned it. See you next time.
Have a good one.